That's where the real shows happen, folks.
Oh, if I got it on beat one of that, I'm super proud. Okay, welcome to the actual correct Greasy Conversation, for sure, the real show, instead of the pretend kind of pre-show that we did on the Facebook video before this. So if you're like, this seems loosely organized, you should now see it slightly more organized.
Yeah.
Slightly so.
And we're being really, really loose with the term slightly.
All right. Today, there's all kinds of Inquisition.
Yeah, we're rounding up people and hanging them upside down and dipping them in lava today.
That's an awesome metaphor for what, like, I'd like to literally do to a large portion of the FCC at this point.
Yeah, we just got to get this dude out, like, Ajit Pai, the chairman of the FCC.
Or as we like to say, I eat pie.
This I eat pie guy.
Yeah. All right. Yo, this guy, first of all, if you haven't seen his PSA and you want to get pissed off at some dude, watch the PSA. It's like a minute and a half long, and he basically is just mocking everyone. He's like, hey, everyone, here's seven things you can do on the internet after we repeal net neutrality. You can still Instagram your food. Acting like he's all cool. He's like, you can still ruin 10-year-old memes. And shit, and it's like, yeah, real cool, epic maymays there, G-Pie.
You're just going to get charged individually by them from your...
Yeah, but even on the PSA, you see the little square in the lower left-hand corner, and it's like, Instagram your food, $5.
Yeah, like,
and
what?
It's like, yeah, dude.
Yeah, we really want to pay to use a thing that we've always been able to use the whole time since
I do
something.
Like that there's quite a few people taking it to court.
Yes,
yeah,
thank
totally.
Freaking goodness.
Yeah, a couple of surgeon generals are taking it to court. Netflix was the first one to get the ball rolling. They're saying, no, we're not having it.
Yeah, there are a couple of states, like Washington State, too, was like, we're just going to enact our own net neutrality law and fuck you.
I'm glad you brought that up, Jay, because there's so much Netflix has done to try to stay neutral with things and provide us an alternative to cable through however we're getting internet. And to see Hulu be so in bed with cable companies, which have the lowest rating of customer satisfaction of, like, any kind of company at all, or, like, cable companies. And that's who's winning with this. They can kind of set rules with this. And if they're in bed with Hulu, which among people that I know, I don't know anyone that has Hulu that doesn't also have Netflix. Although I know tons of people that have Netflix and don't have Hulu. Because, and my raving thing that a lot of people have echoed is, why are you paying for something like Hulu and then still watching ads?
Yeah, that's bullshit, man.
If it can be done and done extremely successfully for a long track record now, like Netflix has, without ads, then that's the kind of model I want to support. That's why I have YouTube Red. Shout out to YouTube Red. Because you don't have ads then on YouTube.
Yeah. Why? Some people go, Netflix is already, their rates are already going up because of this. They go, no, the rates are going up because they have a great quality run of new programs, and they have to pay for them.
Yeah.
And it went up by $1.
Yeah, it's $3 max, but I mean, that has nothing to do with the net. It's because they're releasing quality shit. Yeah. They got to pay for it.
It's really
Why
worth it.
Why is that? Because they don't have commercials.
Yeah. And if I was not enjoying their original programming too, which is another factor, it wouldn't be worth it. I might be more concerned about the increase, but even just inflation, how much it's grown as a platform that I love, it's worth an increase. I feel of everything I pay that small amount for something I use so much.
I don't get to watch free porn anymore online. trust me, it ain't all going away.
Yeah, that's not going away.
This is how I imagine a Jeep Pie, right? Like he fucking sits at home at night, and no one wants anything to do with him, even his wife, right? So he has to jack off all the time. So he sits on one hand until it goes numb, and then he pretends it's the invisible hand of the free market while he jacks off. Invisible hand.
Wasn't he on the board of directors of Verizon or something?
And he was a lawyer. Yeah, he was a lawyer for Verizon.
Yeah, and he got fired.
He's totally like
he is the profile of a douchebag.
Yeah, I hate Verizon so much.
I eat pie.
And then he's walking around like, why are people, why don't people like me? But I do like the new memes that are popping up about him, where they just like show a picture of his dumb face, and they're all like, couldn't get a date on a dating site, so I had to make sure no one can. And it's just all shit like that.
I saw one today. It was like an unfinished meme. It was like his face, and then it was like, oh, I guess it didn't finish loading.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Just stupid, like it's.
Oh man.
Hell yeah.
But no, I mean, it's bad, but I don't think it's like everybody's crying. You say, "Oh, this, the internet's over." Like, it's not over.
Yeah, I think that's realistic, and it's not over. But the fight isn't over either.
Right. Yeah. So. If you have all these companies and stuff going forward, but again, everybody should have been doing this
right
prior to this. Instead of being keyboard warriors, they should have actually went out and done something about it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of like they try. There were a lot of, like, they said, we're open to public comments and shit, and so that's been going on for a long time, and there were millions and millions of comments, and they basically were like, oh, thanks, those aren't going to affect our decision at all. And, like, it's, I mean, 83%, give or take, of the public wants to keep net neutrality, and they're basically, like, just acting in bad faith because my free markets.
Yeah, I was reading in the Ars Technica article on this that a ton of people are reporting that someone in their family that was deceased.
Their identities were used.
Their identity was used people that were super against this teardown of net neutrality that passed away, their names were used 5 times.
Yeah,
stuff
make
like that.
Pro repeal comments and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. There were a lot of them. There were like all the pro repeal. Or a lot of the pro-repeal comments are from, like, Russian IPs and shit. Like, it's crazy, man. Yeah. Just, like, tons of bots and, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
There was some, like, guy who analyzed how all the pro-repeal comments were put together. And he was like, these are all fucking bots.
Mm-hmm.
Or a good majority of them. So
and this organization that's supposed to be in charge of this thing did very little to vet this system whatsoever.
Yeah. It seemed like because Pi was on the board when Obama was president, and then when Trump came in, he made him the chairman. And, like, Pi was against net neutrality back then because he's, like, such a...
chill?
He just loves that invisible hand. And
the problem
is
that invisible hand has caused an incredible monopoly in the distribution networks as it is.
Yeah.
And it's put us behind in those distribution networks not updating their infrastructure. So we have some of the worst internet infrastructure as the country that arguably put the first internet together.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. And, like, not to mention, there's been cases where they have, like, throttled shit and lied about it until they got caught. And they're like, oh, you caught us. And not to mention, there was like, a $400 billion subsidy from the government for cable companies to build like fiber infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened, and they just got the money.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, oh, they just took a bunch of taxpayer money and didn't improve the infrastructure at all.
Totally.
They're like, no, it, that doesn't come up.
There's incomplete and dead fibers sitting in
crazy,
city infrastructures
man, unused. Yeah. And then, like, they all act like these ISPs are just, like, bastions of virtue and have, like, the best interest of the consumer in heart. And I'm like, no, they don't. Like, have you ever dealt with them? No. Because they don't.
One thing that I'm hoping will always get around this, even if all of our hope and all of the repeal process and all of the anti-competitive, you know, when something's put together and it's sets up a monopoly,
mm-hmm.
It's an anti-competitive thing, that ideally should get in the way of a lot of movements. Even with net neutrality torn down, if someone is given, like, an ability to pipeline one service and railroad Netflix and put them off to the side, make them cost more, individualize stuff like that, ideally that should be anti-competition, like monopolistic rules should get in the way of that. But if all of that fails, what we got to do is go to VPNs. It's VPN hour. And we've talked about VPNs like forever ago on this show, but I think it warrants bringing that concept back up. That if you have a good VPN, like I've used for a long time private internet access, which is shortened to PIA a lot, because they have a 100% reputation of not keeping records of anything that could then be ratting you out to any government or whatever, or your ISP also. But a lot of VPNs will do the job. TunnelBear is another really popular one. Now, TunnelBear, I know you can't use it for torrents. So if you're doing any kind of illegal software downloading.
They'll still get you.
Yeah, kind of making your own trial process of some software you might like. TunnelBear, it just won't work. MicroTorrent doesn't work through it. But private internet access totally does if you need that. But if you're just trying to get around net neutrality being torn down, and if it comes to this, to where you're having to nickel and dime services that you use on the internet, and that money is not even going to those companies that you love. It's going to a stupid middleman that's just stepping on the brakes on shit and just acting like it's in charge of the bridges for a large percentage of infrastructure that they don't even own. VPNs are going to be the way. That's what I'm getting at with that. And all a VPN is a dedicated encrypted tunnel that you get to a place, and then you surf the internet from that place. And if that place can surf the internet with full net neutrality, and then it goes encrypted through a pipeline to where it gets to your internet service provider and then to you, the internet service provider has no idea what that is, unless they start getting and blocking or charging extra for specific VPNs. And it's so easy to make VPNs, and there's so many of them out there, that that's practically impossible.
Not cost effective.
No, they're way too lazy and have way too little staff to police VPNs the way that media content industry types have policed sites like Mega Upload.
Yeah, yeah.
That's been hard enough. You can find streaming sites to this day that they're so slow to take things down that as long as people upload things regularly, there is copyrighted content that you can stream from these uploaders. So that can easily happen with VPNs, and just a little bit of savviness will basically get you around that idea, ideally. Man,
nipples are getting hard just thinking about it.
But VPNs are slower. That's the thing. No matter how expensive your VPN is, it's going to unavoidably be at least a notch slower, even with the best one, than what your internet is that you're paying for, because it has to go through more crap.
Yeah.
Even if it's going through a dedicated pipe that hardly anyone's using, it's still going to have to go to Southern California for us in Nevada, because we're just not a big enough network hub compared to, like, Silicon Valley or Southern California. And there's some university or something, and use that extra trip to slow your crap down. So it's really lose-lose for the consumer.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, I don't know. We just got to... All I know is, I mean, if I ever see Ajit Pai in person, dude's getting punched in the face.
It's a relief to hear mainstream, normal people talking about it.
Yeah.
Where we were concerned about this for a while in the whole, like, scene of people publishing content online.
Mm.
But it seemed like the consumers of this content weren't taking it as seriously, even though it was all over, like, favorite YouTubers, things, my favorite tech journalism. It felt like it wasn't in the mainstream enough, even though the moment it's becoming to be, now that it's in a lot of people's eyes too late, although it truly isn't.
Yeah.
Now it's finally
getting to people. Because, I mean, it was going to happen no matter what, but, I mean, I think the vote would have happened that way no matter what, but there's still avenues to, I mean, it's not going to happen overnight if it does happen, so. Rest easy. The porn is flowing freely, folks. I didn't delve into it, but I saw some article.
Of course, this was another way for them to control the news that you get to see and what not to see.
That's true.
A factor I hadn't even thought of with net neutrality.
Yeah, because they can control what gets put out there.
They totally would be able to control through pricing what news agencies' websites are more affordable for you.
Or whatever.
In other words, Alex Jones is fucked.
Yo. All right, folks, I don't know how we're going to keep this operation going for another 20 minutes. It costs about $10 million a second to keep this operation going. You're going to need to buy some more chicken bone broth that's only found in Comets. It's magical. All right.
Next time you see my co-host Dan, you got to ask him to do his impression of Alex Jones.
Oh, delicious.
It's pretty spot on.
I love Alex Jones impressions.
Chicken bone broth only found in Comets.
Yeah, no, there's like all kinds of crazy shit. There was, but he does sell some, like, it's supposed to be some like caveman shit that's like made from a chicken bone broth. But it's funny because he's like, oh, you know, you pour this over a glass of ice and I think it tastes better than Ovaltine. And he like takes a swig and he just like, he's like, that's delicious. And, like, you can tell it does not taste good at all.
Oh, and like, man.
It's just hilarious seeing him try to, like, hawk his shit on there.
Patreon, man. I bet you Alex Jones would do way better with Patreon than hitting his advertisers.
They said Patreon is actually ruining podcasts. People are,
how?
People are starting not to listen to them as much if they hear that there's a Patreon account because they're afraid. They feel guilty if they listen and they don't donate money. So the ones that advertise they have it aren't getting the hits that they used to get.
I think there's a failure of marketing of individuals' Patreons, though. Like, as much as that concept makes sense, there's people that I watch that bring up their Patreon, and they don't bring up their Patreon without saying something like, hey, don't feel any obligation with this, but I do have a Patreon if you're loving this and it's helping you out.
Hey, whatever. You think our show sounds like shit? We'd like to get some new mics, so why don't you donate some fucking money?
Yeah. No, yeah, I watch some people that they have Patreon, and they're like, I mean, they put their stuff on YouTube for free, like, afterwards, but they're like, you know, if you like it and want to support, we can do more shit, you know?
Yeah, and you'd think if they're
people some of them make it sound like it's a PBS ad.
Yeah, and I
call now and get a tote bag.
I think that's the problem in not Patreon, is the guilt tripping and doing it, like, NPR style. I love NPR.
Guys, it's not easy to sit in here and talk for an hour.
It's not like I'm going to do this anyway, whether anyone helps me or not.
We're trying to make a difference. Telling fart jokes.
But I love entertainers that are honest about the fact that, hey, I've got something wrong with me where I'm going to output this content, even if stuff actively gets in my way.
Yeah.
But I do have this in place to get something from you if you feel like it, because a lot of people are going to feel like it anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily asking, but this is here. That's a thing. Or I like the early content release thing that a lot of YouTubers will do.
I'm all right with it. First. I'm all right with it. If they donate, then they get like maybe 20 minutes of bonus content that wasn't in the show.
Bonus content too. And I think that gets in the way of feeling guilty and not watching a show because you're not contributing. Because you're just thinking, okay, well, I'm just not getting this thing and I'm not contributing. So I feel like it's not as guilty.
Like right in the middle of the podcast, it cuts off. If you'd like to hear the ending.
Yeah. Oh, dude. No,
then donate at least $5.
Oh, no.
It's like a comedian like asking for money right before the punchline, man.
Oh, man.
Sorry that you don't get to hear the ending of this podcast, but thanks to IE Pie.
Oh, man. Dude, this guy.
Click the subscribe link below to hear why the chicken did indeed cross the road.
Exactly.
Otherwise, be enshrouded in mystery. And
for $3, we'll give you several reasons why.
That's so great. All right.
Oh, shit.
I just wanted to push a stinger button.
I love it.
I craved it.
I love stingers. Not being stung, though. But stingers.
So what if before we dive into more news stuff, we, because we've neglected it for a minute, revisit not the Wheel of Wheels, but specifically the English as a Second Language wheel.
I like where your head's at.
The ESL wheel. You guys can spin this at home. The ESL wheel is available to you at home. If you go to fakenews.wang, there's a link to spin your own wheels and love it. And you can comment at the Facebook stream thing what the wheel said to you and what you feel about it.
And for anyone who's not familiar, the ESL game is where we spin the wheel and get a subject and discuss it or talk about it as if English is our second language.
Or we're talking to someone that English is their second
talking
language.
Talking for whom their English is...
Is a language secondarily.
Habits.
Habits.
Oh, man. So many ways to go with that.
So, sometimes nuns wear...
This asshole.
When I do things over and over again, and sometimes don't know, and then I love it.
All right. Some of them are good, but most of the time it's bad. Smoke.
Do you have one, Jay? You're generally better at this.
No. I'm good.
He's passing on the habits.
Yeah, you guys throw us one. That's a good
habit to have. Passing on habits.
Yeah. You totally inadvertently did one, we decided.
How do you like that? Wasn't participating, but did.
Participating.
Clever!
When people don't do what I want, I convince myself that they did.
Yeah, I've done it.
Give us your own. Do it. Comment. So it's as easy as typing things underneath the video, and we ignore them. So that's part of how this works.
Yeah. That's how it works. I love it. So
your comments mean nothing.
Yeah.
We just want them. We just want the raw numbers.
Yeah, we
want
to look cool, but not comment.
We're trying to be the FCC here, guys.
Yeah. Right. We're not going to use your comments.
Yeah.
Unless they're exactly what we agree with. Otherwise, they're bots for sure.
Right.
In fact, get some bots going. Bot us up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really surprised that the FCC put any thought into this at all, as much as they were harassing me.
I know. It seems like that should have been enough to get
right.
to be busy with.
Yeah. I shouldn't have stopped them so quickly. I should have kept doing stuff.
No, that's, you know, you're doing something right if you at least got their attention. They weren't like, oh, well, this guy.
Well, it wasn't me that got their attention. It was Philbo Baggins.
Awesome. Yeah, instead he just kind of like
Philbo McCracken
set you up to do some easy and affordable things to like extra legitimize stuff.
Yeah.
Just made the station better. Thanks, buddy.
Talk about fail.
I love it when a fail like improves someone's life and career. Yeah.
Didn't improve his much. No. Mine's glorious.
Well, I think you have to focus more on what you're actually trying to accomplish yourself rather than tear down other people to have anything like go somewhere with you in any permanent way. It almost seems like obvious. If you're like, no one's gonna just go to your show by default because you're tearing down some other show. It's like, it doesn't mean that like you're what's left behind. You're the only
He's
other
probably
show.
Like one of those little kids in school, like if you didn't play by his rules, I'm taking my ball and going home.
Oh no.
I totally had a moment where I was that kid in kindergarten, but it was a tennis ball. And no one had a tennis racket. So in context, it was like, this ball was really useless anyway. Like, we weren't playing any kind of real game with it. But I still feel bad. I think about it every once in a while.
You just, like, started throwing it at kids. Well, that's the game now. Well, if you get
I'm not
going to
take it and go home. I'm going to play this game with you.
Hey, everyone, I just made up a new game. Bonk.
Do you want to keep playing with me? Do you want me to take it and go home?
Oh, shit.
You guys, there's no AOL Instant Messenger anymore. Like, closed.
Yeah, today.
Yeah, today was the day.
They tweeted it out yesterday.
No.
I was like, really? It's still even a thing?
Oh, man. That was like how I met girls in high school, though.
Well, yeah, but I thought it ended years ago, like when they stopped sending out those stupid CDs.
I think they, don't they still send those out?
No.
They haven't done that forever.
I don't think anyone sends out CDs of anything anymore. I can't remember the last time I held a CD.
I found like CDs from churches and shit, just like laying in the desert when I crossed path. Like, they're all like, "You need Jesus," and it's got like a guy in front of a cross. It's all white, you know. And you're like, "Yeah, Jesus rocks." Yeah.
I found a DVD of Drumline, the movie Drumline, in the street outside my apartment once. Oh, apparently, there was a bunch of other CDs that were all smashed and DVDs that were smashed and chunks of clothes and stuff, as if like an ex-lover had just tossed someone's stuff out the window.
Yeah.
But the Drumline DVD was like just barely scratched.
Yo.
And I watched it, and it's one of my favorite movies now.
Drumline is immortal.
Yeah. That was a poorly marketed movie, because it turns out it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, shit. No, it is, yeah, it's a pretty good flick. I dig it.
Yeah, that's a great way to discover a piece of media, I think. Finding it lying in the street. Yeah, is the Jeep Pie going to take that
away from us? Dumpsters are always good.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to climb through dumpsters anyway, it's great to find great content.
Yeah.
What is this Spanish-looking thing? Porn.
Oh. Porn in another language has a unique appeal.
Porn in another language is still porn.
Yeah. Porn by any other name.
It doesn't change it.
No. Well, it's like certain
sometimes
races,
it's just
like
a little more aggressive.
Yeah.
Spanish porn, they're slapping people around.
Oh, man, there's like actual births in it. It's like, wow, this took the whole pathway.
It's like this took giving birth in the background of this, the whole thing. Yeah.
Then the baby start having sex.
That's that full circle porn.
With each other babies, not with the people in it.
Yeah,
no. Just babies with each other.
They don't know what they're doing, so it's cute.
Yeah.
Using the baby jam as lube.
They're all clumsy.
Oh, man.
I hope I'm painting this endearing instead of extremely illegal. Now the FCC is in.
Yeah, we're fucked, man.
Oh, shit. A Jeep Pie's knocking on the door. I eat pie.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that was like my high school experience was all about AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's all we had back then.
Yeah, and we couldn't talk to each other on the phone. That's too awkward. Yeah. We wanted to text the moment there was anything that was like text to do to each other.
Thanks, Facebook.
Yeah. Because we don't... Facebook Messenger, the way it works on the site, reminds me a lot of AIM. How you have the different boxes that build up on the bottom. And I would set that up with my different chat boxes on my screen till my parents had to use the telephone. And it's so similar to that, but I almost think that maybe like I grew out of wanting that level of communication now.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And I look at teenagers today...
They'll never know the joy of... They'll never understand that. You know, Mom, hang up! They'll never understand what that is.
Did you just pick up the phone?
I'll be back in like 20 minutes.
Oh my god, it took me 20 minutes to download that!
Oh man.
It was only at 40%!
Before I had AOL, I had Prodigy. And I was still using some AOL services when they came out, but Prodigy... Oh man, trying to find a phone number that would even connect.
Oh,
it was like
Jesus.
Just a busy signal most of the time.
I got tired of AOL, so I thought I'd switch to something better at one time. Remember Net Zero?
I was just about to bring up Net Zero.
Net Zero was
I couldn't get online on Prodigy, I would just be like, fuck it, Net Zero then.
Net Zero.
And with these ads that you couldn't get rid of.
It was horrible. It was horrible. They gave you an automatic email address. You couldn't even pick it. It was like, you're Jason Bird 1 at Net Zero.
Oh,
so
man.
That's what you are.
Yeah. Because we said so.
Oh, man.
Holy shit.
I was so upset when Facebook made me use my real name, even though lets me use Woz supposedly like in quotes. At the time, no one knew my real name in my whole network, so I had people like rediscovering me on Facebook.
Really?
You're like, oh hey, is this Woz? Like, meanwhile, I have another friend that's on the same label as me in a different band, also named Woz. So it just led to all kinds of confusion because no one knew which Wozniak was which.
Yeah.
They just knew mine was the one that said supposedly.
Mm.
So, yeah, Facebook ruined my artistic career temporarily.
Yeah.
I even, like, appealed to them and was like, please, this is everything but government, my real name right now.
Fucking Facebook.
But it's fine
but
now.
Yet,
everyone knows me now.
But yet, Mad Mike, my co-host... still is allowed to use his name on Facebook, which is not his real name.
They never caught him?
They never caught him. Junk McGee.
Oh, my God.
So it still says Junk McGee on Facebook for him.
Junk McGee.
Makes me so mad. Why did they catch me and not Junk McGee?
Bullshit.
So I'm just jelly.
Facebook. Yeah.
So speaking of things that are out, like our net neutrality, Roy Moore is out.
Yeah. Which is kind of strange that, like, in the reddest state, I mean, a Democrat won.
It is strange, but not strange because Roy Moore was the candidate.
Yeah, that's true.
The only red candidate. So it's like, if everyone has only dog shit as their choice to eat in their own party, yeah, of course they're going to have to vote across party lines.
Yeah, but that wasn't even it. Like, still, Doug Jones, the Democrat, only won by, like, 1.5% of the votes or something. It was still a narrow margin. Like, there were enough write-ins for Luther Strange that kind of swayed that. And a lot of Democratic voters came out a lot more than normal. Because I think those states are like, oh, they're just eternally red. Yeah. But Roy Moore was like a fucking clown, dude. Mm. I mean, he was like, I love Jesus and I'm a cowboy and Democrats want it.
No Muslims in Congress.
They want to murder babies. They want to force women to have babies just to murder them. They want to force women to have babies and put the babies back in them and murder the mother and the baby and then bring them back to life and murder them again. I got guns.
And the Muslim faith is naturally contrary to the United States government, even though it's practically a carbon clone of Christianity and Judaism.
Did you see when that...
If you scale back your viewpoint on it.
Did you see his... There was like some interview, I think it was with Jake Tapper, where I think it was someone on his campaign or something was trying to say, like, you know, you can't have Muslims in Congress and this and that because you have to swear on the Bible to, like, get into an office of public service or an office of government. And that's not the case. Like, you can swear on whatever the hell you want. Like, you don't have to swear on the Bible.
He doesn't realize how anti-Semitic he's sounding at the same time.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to, like, have this issue with this one ancient religion, like, that's basically their buddies. They go back to the same family line. I mean, they obviously don't get along in war with each other historically. But these faiths are so similar that it's really ignorant to say those kinds of things about Islam and not assume that they apply also to Judaism, which is obviously something we're all accepting of in the government.
But this, so like Jake Tapper corrects him and he's like, well, that's not actually true. You don't have to swear on the Bible. You can swear on the Constitution or whatever book you want to. And the guy was just like,
that's awesome. I didn't know that.
And the dude was just like, and he literally sat there for like 2 minutes. It was just silent. With like, his mouth
my
open.
Point's ruined.
He was like, well, I know Donald Trump swore on the Bible and I did when I ran. I'm like, that's because you decided to. That's what you wanted to swear in on, but you didn't have to.
That, like, just made me love America a notch more, that you can swear on a different book.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm going to swear on, like Garfield's second book.
Oh.
Like the comic Garfield?
Yeah.
Not like the president Garfield.
No, on Garfield's... Yeah. We got to grind up his skull. Turn it into a book called Garfield, the book. No, Garfield's skull, the book, and swear in on that. That's what we gotta do.
I like the extra layer you added to that. I mean, I think that makes the swear in more meaningful.
Yeah,
when
totally.
You have to grind up any kind of skull.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot more government rituals would have greater meaning with ground up bones of some kind being involved.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean,
why aren't things more pagan?
Yo, we need to run for office, man.
Yeah, I want to swear by the Necronomicon.
Oh, man, that would be so awesome.
Or, like, some book by Crowley.
Yeah.
That'd be badass.
Hell yeah.
Alistair. Old Al.
Good old Al, yeah. Good old Al. Just lived down the street.
So, Roy Moore's out. We're stoked on that. Compromise tax bill happened.
Oh, yeah. Man, might be out.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Well, there's rumors that he's not gonna run for re-election. So I don't know if he's confirmed that or not.
I think he's stepping down. They said,
very
soon.
Yeah, he might be. I don't know if anyone's confirmed it yet. I've only heard that there have been reports from people close to him and all that kind of stuff that he's.
I heard it on InfoWars.
No, then you know it's true. It's real, Paul Ryan.
I found the greatest pizza place on InfoWars.
Yeah?
To get some delicious cheese pizza.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Pizzagate?
What's it called? Comet Pizza? Is that what that place is called? Yeah. They have a nice basement there?
Yeah, that's my jam.
Yeah.
I discover all the greatest restaurants this way.
They have the best tiny pizza. Fucking that guy, man.
You guys, do you know, have you heard much about this compromise tax bill? It feels kind of like snuck up on.
Yeah, well, I know they've been hammering it out because they have to reconcile the House and Senate version. So I think they've done that, and then it's coming back to the Senate. And I think it has to go to the House one more time. And then so, but it's kind of iffy. I think Rand Paul is against it because it adds so much to the deficit. Mm-hmm. And he's been like a pretty big deficit hawk for a long time. He's more libertarian. I don't know if any other like senators are going to be swayed. But the interesting thing now is that Republicans only have 51 votes as opposed to 52 that they had. And so they can only lose one. And Pence would have a tiebreak then. So if they lose two votes, they're fucked. And that's entirely possible because there have been a number of senators that are like, you know what, I'm fucking out of this bitch. This whole shit is fucked. And whatever. They're like, Trump is too crazy. And, you know, I ain't running.
Yeah.
I'm out after this term. John McCain is like super ill. So it'll be interesting.
He should have resigned when he said he had cancer.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. I mean, if it was like super serious, yeah. But I mean, it was like a brain tumor and shit, so.
But, yeah, that seems like especially a decision. But it seems to be getting worse.
Thing. Yeah, he's like in the hospital right now, I think. And they say he's looking pretty frail, so I think he's probably on his way out. Mm. But, you know.
Whatever. But he still won't resign.
No, hey, man, till the very end. You gotta fight.
Right until the wheels fall off.
Right. Oh, another thing that like cracks me up about the Roy Moore seat, right, in Alabama, is that was Jeff Sessions' seat. So, like, Donald Trump appointed Jeff Sessions, who was the senator from Alabama, and then Jeff Sessions had to recuse himself because of all the Russia bullshit, and so Trump is pissed at him at that, and they lose the seat. And Trump backed Luther Strange, who lost the primary to Roy Moore, so eventually he just had to, like, support Roy Moore, and then Roy Moore lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo.
You're really picking him, aren't you?
I love all that winning. Just eating all that gravy with a spoon. Oh, shit.
So Litecoin blew up this week.
Did it? I saw it went up to like 300. Did it go past that?
It went a little bit above 300. And it's a little bit above 300 now. I went ahead and grabbed like $10 worth the moment it dipped below 300. But I spent like a good couple of days with the back of my mind being so annoyed at how I was checking my Bitcoin for months mm-hmm. lately and just seeing Litecoin down in there and the Coinbase. You guys got that Coinbase? So Coinbase has Litecoin and Ethereum and controversy. And I saw the Litecoin thing down there just chilling like around 50, 60 bucks since basically forever.
Yeah.
I've never seen, Litecoin hadn't been above 100. And just seeing it not be, it just seems like a double digit thing. Mm. To see it go into triple digits at all shocked the shit out of me. And the whole time I was thinking, maybe I should just get like a couple bucks worth just so I'm like playing the game. Because yeah. You never know if they might all, if there might be room and at least money transferring to build up a huge value in multiple cryptocurrencies. Because you don't have to have people sitting on things to have a high value. If money is traveling through it a lot, there's enough volume, the value can go up. So, and now it is in Litecoin hella.
Yeah, but the thing that was funny is, like, I know Coinbase got, like, overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you couldn't really do any transactions or, like, went down. So I'm like, that's hilarious because you have people. It's like all these, like, Bitcoin's been kind of all, like, a major speculative thing for a while because you can't do a ton with it, you know, except, like, hold it, wait for the value to go up and then turn it into, U.S. dollars and then spend it.
Mm-hmm. You can't do a lot of spending with it or using it as currency right now. Yeah,
which is part of the problem, but I'm like, all these people who are like, oh, yeah, this is my get-rich-quick thing, and they just, like, dump a bunch of money into it, and then, like, now you're holding a bunch of Bitcoin that, like, has value, but you can't access it because you can't withdraw it from any of the exchanges.
No.
And it's, like, hilarious. So now it's all like,
frozen.
Like, Now you have to use it as an actual currency, maybe.
Yeah, and it was that day that Litecoin got into the triple digits that Coinbase had to shut down even being able to transact it.
Yeah.
And Ethereum, too.
Yeah, and I heard Bitfinex went down for a while. Like, they had to freeze transactions as well, which is crazy because that's one of the big exchanges now, too. So, like, all kinds of craziness is going. Like, the market cap for cryptocurrencies is, like, $500 billion. Which is kind of scaring people.
Yeah, it's bigger than a lot of
like major
top tier corporations.
Yeah. So, and it's like, it has to be a bubble. Like, it's got to be like an obvious bubble, I think, because there's no. I mean, it's just everyone dumping money into it, and its value is increasing, but you can't do anything with it yet. Hardly, you know, like there's very limited spending as far as any of the cryptocurrencies right now. So.
Everyone's saying it's a bubble, but everyone's been saying it while it's expanded much more than anyone predicted.
Yeah.
And if it is a bubble, then this bubble's popped at least 3 times and yet recovered.
Too. Yeah.
So I have a feeling that if I just sit on it, because it wasn't money I needed anyway, it was such a tiny amount that it started as.
Yeah.
I think playing with something that you're willing to lose in the first place will let you ride out that whole... crash, inevitable bubble pop, and then into the next recovery.
Yeah,
and totally. Every time it's recovered, it's been exponentially more than its value before losing something crazy like 80%. So update on the Ethereum I got $10 of last week, just because I figure that's a small enough amount of money just to like have a token on the playing field, and I was. Spooked out because there's a lot of untrustworthy talk about Coinbase and how many people are putting their trust in it, yet how much control and sloppy control they seem to have over these markets that aren't theirs to exercise control over, just in market share. And they weren't processing my Ethereum transaction for like 6 days. And then it was like day six that they're announcing, okay, Ethereum and Litecoin transactions are frozen right now. Like, well, this is a 6-day-old transaction. Why is it frozen? A couple days after that, they did process it, and they processed it at the price. Because I was concerned that I was going to just lose the transaction and have to get it at a way worse price, because Ethereum had gone up so much since I grabbed $10 of it.
Oh, yeah.
But no, a couple days ago, it finished processing, and I had like $15. Yeah. So my $10 was $15 like it should have been.
Oh, nice.
Which, it's not about the $5, it's about the points.
Yeah.
It's about the game.
Totally. No, it's crazy interesting. But I hear, like, it's starting to be a craze, and people are, like, taking out serious debt to, like, get in the Bitcoin game. And I think that's dumb, especially if you don't know what the fuck you're doing. If you don't know anything about cryptocurrencies, I mean, I don't even know a ton about cryptocurrencies. But I know enough not to just, like, sell everything I own and borrow, like, money from everyone I know to be like, yeah, I'm going to get rich. Like,
yeah, it's not something to count on. No. It's not like if I bought a car and then it suddenly got repealed or proven to be illegal, Volkswagen. I don't still have a working automobile that can still take me places.
Yeah.
As an investment. Oh, like, my house might become worth a fourth as much. The housing market might crash. We still have a house to live in.
Yeah, totally.
This is not like that.
No. Not yet. Like, I mean, hopefully it is something one day, but right now it's kind of like, it feels like it's on that cusp where we're about to find out if Bitcoin's got some big boy pants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And what if Bitcoin had a crash and a bunch of people in the process of abandoning ship hopped right onto the next most popular contenders like Ethereum, and apparently Litecoin more than I thought. I thought Litecoin was a toy,
yeah,
or something mainly for just transfer of money, and it was going to keep a small value indefinitely. And then to wake up and see it at half the value of Ethereum, when it was like not even a tenth of its value for a really long time, boggled my mind.
Yeah, no, I thought about getting some Litecoin too. I probably will eventually. Just like $20 to get in there.
I still don't technically have it. Of course, the transaction's just sitting there.
Frozen. Yo, what about them crypto kitties though? Yo, you heard about them crypto kitties, dog?
I'm familiar with the concept. What are they up to?
Yeah, no, like, it's basically just, like, these uniquely generated virtual cats that you can purchase.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
With crypto.
I thought you just meant young people messing with crypto.
No, no. It's actually a thing, like, just a virtual pet that you can buy with cryptocurrency, and they're generated on using, like, blockchain technology, so they're unique to you.
Uh-huh.
And you can, like, buy multiple different cats and breed them and generate new unique cats and trade them and shit. Like, the first day these things launched, like, they locked up the exchanges because people were going crazy over them. Yeah, like, so much money was spent on fucking crypto kitties. It's insane. People were, like, just dumping Ethereum, like, crypto kitties.
These old currency types, these old cryptos like Bitcoin and Ethereum, if they can't handle more than a handful of transactions in a day, they can't be a currency. They've got to be treated like an asset class.
Yeah, that's part of the issue, is that
so obviously they're limited, asset classes.
They're limited in number of transactions per second, mm-hmm. which is like not scalable, which has always been like part of the big issue with Bitcoin or Ethereum. That's been like the underlying. Because I even saw that when like, I mean, I was just poking around a lot of shit about the Bitcoin going up to like 19K and then like dropping down and all this, and people are like, oh yeah, it's great. Like, Bitcoin's up to 19K, but we're sitting here at 200,000 unprocessed transactions.
Yeah.
And that doesn't worry anyone. Like, yeah, 19K.
It might have this value, but who's actually purchasing it or selling it?
Yeah.
At a value at all?
Yeah.
Because it can't.
Yeah. I mean, unconfirmed transactions for like days, 200,000. No. Like, credit card companies cannot function like that.
Do futures trading on it as an asset class affect actual transactions of it?
I don't think it affects the transactions. It might affect the price, but I'm not sure like how that would work with Bitcoin, which is kind of weird. But
because it's new as a futures thing. You can trade it now.
Yeah.
And those trades happen as quick as filling any futures trade, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but volume is really low still.
Oh, the volume is super low on the futures time.
And I was actually reading that the exchange, the like CBOE and stuff, were gonna raise the margin requirements because people are trying to short Bitcoin, and they don't want to short Bitcoin. They don't want to like back, you know, like these companies don't just have like $250 billion in case like someone like wins on Bitcoin huge. So it's all kinds of crazy, man. It's like just nuts.
Because it seems like to use these as a currency, there'd have to be some kind of credit organization backing
like
with credit for these transactions that aren't occurring. But what I think it's what's going to happen, I think unavoidably, is that they're going to really be thought of as an asset class. And payment networks are going to give up using old cryptos for payments of things. It's ridiculous. It's like trying to pay for something in gold and like mail someone gold. It's super inefficient.
Yeah.
And that doesn't
happen.
It's
a good idea, but like, I mean, I think it's like first generation stuff.
Mm.
That was like a really good idea, but there's probably better ways to do it.
And I'm hoping one of those ways is IOTA.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, just to recap, that's another crypto that's really recent that doesn't use a blockchain, but does use a distributed ledger. And it really avoids transaction fees because you don't have to count on some exchange to do the work of checking transactions. You do it when you do a transaction.
Yeah, everyone does it. So, like, you just constantly check transactions when you do transactions.
And it can handle that currency exchange. It might even underpin something like Zelle that lets you do money transfer between banks more efficiently. That, like, a bunch of banks are picking it up as a network in place of, like, Chase EasyPay. It's pretty much replaced with Zelle now. I haven't played with it yet because I'm kind of a PayPal junkie.
Yeah.
But I know it probably has lower fees than PayPal.
Yeah, it's always the fees, man.
But the no-fees dream of Bitcoin is long gone.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally not what it was going to be. No. But fortunately, other things are stepping up to be that.
Totally. I did want to revisit the AlphaZero. Right, the amazing chess machine that Google built.
Oh, or the updates
neural,
on that?
The neural network, right?
Uh-huh.
So, because I played a lot of chess back in the day. I'm still a fan. I like watch games and like pro games and stuff here and there. So there's all these. They released 10 games All right. It played 100 games against Stockfish, which is the best computer program currently. There were 72 draws. AlphaZero beat it 28 times, which that's about right with the number of draws, because statistically, really? Like, white has a 51% chance to win against black. So you would expect a large amount of draws with, like, two perfectly playing machines, you know? And it didn't lose any games to this program. And I watched, there's, like, tons of videos on these games with, like, commentary from pro chess players and stuff. And it is, like, I don't know, I don't even know how to describe it. It's incredible. Like, even if you don't know anything about chess, but it just does things that seem simple or that, like, no one would do if they played chess. Like, it just gives up pieces.
Dang. You and just then, don't expect
it to. It gives up pieces to, like, lock the other player's pieces and make them entirely useless for the entire game. And then they're like, oh, and this was the original plan from the first move. Come to fruition 30 moves later. And, like, it's like, insane. And I'm entirely convinced that there's nothing a human can do that a computer cannot learn to do. Way better than a human. Like, just not, I mean, maybe not now, but in enough time, like, it's Skynet all the way, man.
I mean, I can see that applying to a lot of mechanical, clear, good or bad things. But I think if there's anything that computers will have the most difficult time coming to would be artistic expression that's, like, meaningful, unique viewpoints but are still relatable, because there's this weird fuzzy line to where if something is too relatable or too formulaic, it kind of gets in this uncanny valley where, like, it's what most people have problems with generic pop music or top 40 stuff.
Yeah.
You get burned out on it right away, even if you admit that it's, like, catchy or has a good beat in the beginning, because it has a shallowness, a mechanicalness to it, unavoidably.
Yeah.
That so many fingers do a formula with it. But when you have these true gems that, like, express something that's not so avant-garde that it doesn't leave everybody completely confused by it.
Yeah.
It's this weird pocket.
Yeah. I mean, that is, like, one area where it would probably be difficult for a long time, but I think given enough time. I mean, you're talking about this thing taught itself to be the best chess player ever in 4 hours. You know? I mean, it's like...
The timeline of getting it going is unprecedented also.
Yeah. So it just is... It's insane. Like... And it seems, I mean, it's hard to describe, but it just plays like, it just knows what to do.
The last thing I wanted to bring up, loud and proud, Pinche's Tacos on Russell Road is totally going to hook you up with a free taco, a free gringo taco, if you get a blood orange margarita and mention RadioVegas.rocks. It's that easy. You need a blood orange margarita anyway.
It's true.
Whatever you get there, even if it's not a margarita, you should mention Radio Vegas Rocks and that they're responsible for getting you to the Pinche's Tacos on Russell Road. And then look at that. Free gringo taco also, which is something you probably already wanted.
And then after that, get a michelada because they're delicious.
Mm. And mix it all together in a nice little soup. I don't know. That's one way to do it that I prefer.
Yeah, it is a good soup. Anyway, totally. we're off for the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, that's another thing. January 6th is when we return. We're doing a Christmas break instance because everyone is, and we want to be cool.
Yeah.
So, that pretty much takes us to conclusion land.
Suck it!
Any last things anyone wanted to throw out there? Okay.
Thanks.
Tomorrow, noon to 6.
Oh, I almost forgot.
The Almost Acoustic Christmas at the Settlements Purse Saloon, 2333 North Jones Boulevard. Come out, make a donation for the Las Vegas Homeless Shelter. Sleeping bags, jackets, blankets, scarves, gloves, whatever. No food, guys. And come out. We got some awesome performers. Raffle prizes. We even have a raffle prize from the Golden Knights themselves.
Saddle and Spurs. The artists performing are all really stinking good. So you can come anytime afternoon and bring a blanket or a sleeping bag and Saddle and Spurs. It's the last episode of the year. I'm gonna push a lot of stingers. won't get to push her for 2 weeks. It's so fun.
Help me, Sarah!
We have to post a link to that because that.
It's classic.
You would have had to have watched like something we did like 6 months ago or something stupid to have any idea what we're talking about. It's some viral YouTube thing with someone stuck, their canoe is stuck.
Yeah, yeah. Something.
And it led to us just yelling, "Help me, Sarah," out of context, like it was like a sports team.
Oh, yeah, totally.
All right.
That shows and shit.
The live stream is concluded. I'm concluding the recording. We're all gonna go Christmas each other. And Hanukkah each other. And Kwanzaa each other twice.